Anytime Fitness is for real people with real fitness goals. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us aren't training for marathons or half marathons or even half marathons. Only time most of us are running at all is if we're trying to make a connecting flight. Wouldn't have been late if we didn't stop to buy a headphone dongle. Point is, you gotta be ready. You do not want to deal with rebooking. Anytime Fitness, where real people help you make real progress. Join today and get a plan for training, nutrition, and recovery.
Metro's making the news for another reason. Apparently, they're planning to cut costs. And I guess they want to make the whole operation more efficient. Some people say that it's a matter of the increase in the minimum wage that's coming down the pipe here in Ontario. But Carmen Fortino was on earlier in the day here at AM 640, the executive vice president and Ontario division head at Metro, explaining why the company is planning to go the automated route.
The industry is moving quickly. We want to be competitive, and we see an opportunity for our business to continue to grow in the Ontario market. This is a big piece of it.
All right. Well, that's what he says, and others are saying, well, cutting costs has to do with the fact that labor is going to be more expensive in about 15 months' time, $15 an hour, for most of these employees who are making the minimum wage. Mark Satoff is the founder and leader of Satoff Consultants, and he's joined us here on the line to explain what this move may or may not mean in the broad sweep of things. Mark, good to have you back in the Oakley Show.
Yeah, nice to be back.
What is this now? Is this a result? I mean, you subscribe to that. Does it make sense to go automated if $15 an hour is coming into play?
It does, and it's a shame because, you know, when you hear about, you know, when you first hear about the $15 minimum wage, my first reaction, you know, not from a business standpoint, but just from a human standpoint, was this is great news because you have a lot of, you know, single moms who are earning minimum wage and not making enough to get by. And then when you think it through, unfortunately, you say, well, the problem is that when people have the choice about upping the wage that they pay their workers or either shipping jobs to another country, and we have a country just to the south of us with cheaper labor or obviously overseas, or automate, they're going to make the choice, especially when they're in a hyper-competitive segment like grocery. And so the problem is the intent of the minimum wage increase was to help workers, but the impact is likely going to be the jobs that are remaining will move up in wage, but many jobs will be lost.
You know, we've been warned. There have been numerous studies from the Chamber of Commerce in the province to the Financial Accountability Office, which is, you know, an arm's length group within the government, saying 50,000 would be lost. The other projection was 85,000. However, so if there's a consensus that this is going to cost jobs, it looks like this is really where the rubber meets the road. You've got an actual job creator or an employer, and they say initially it's going to cost jobs, but they're hoping through automation they can also expand and perhaps create more jobs. I'm just curious, typically in...
There's nowhere to expand in grocery. I mean, you have... Grocery is a staple good, and you have three competitors who are fighting, you know, with their every breath to take share from each other. There's no pie growing in grocery in Canada. So I take a little bit of issue with their assertion that they're going to be able to grow jobs. And if they do, because they're stealing share, because they automate better and quicker than Loblaw, then Loblaw and Empire are going to shrink. So there's no net benefit to the economy there.
All right. Well, Carmen Fortino, again, he actually spoke to that very issue. Give a listen.
My hope is that's exactly why we're making the $400 million investment. We're making the $400 million investment to grow our business in the Ontario market, and with that comes more jobs. But in a static environment, if there were no growth, we would lose those 180 positions full-time and 100 positions part-time.
All right, so market share, he thinks that's going to increase.
Well, I'm not sure he thinks it's going to increase as much as he's a politician like any senior leader in a big corporation. And what's he going to say? He's not going to say we're going to cut our way to heaven here, right? He's going to say that we're going to try and grow. So I think there's just a little bit of hyperbole in the prediction that we're going to grow jobs.
All right, you're dubious. Tell me how you would see typically automation coming into play in the grocery. I mean, automated checkout. Where would this all be? You know, the job savings and the efficiencies.
So I've been talking about automated checkout and grocery for years because it's actually one of those things that's just not worked. And when you think about automation and grocery, you think about the front, so with customer facing, self-checkout. And if you think about self-checkout at grocery and compared to self-check-in at the airports, One took hold very quickly and one didn't. And the reason is that just the innovation just doesn't work. You ask even the cashiers. I was at actually a Metro in Collingwood this past weekend, and they were saying they hate it because customers are unhappy. They don't know what to do, and it slows them down so much. And so a big issue is the innovation itself just hasn't worked. Now, if you want to talk about the automation in the back, so in the warehouses, that's an industry that has been moving at pretty good speed, and they do have a lot of success. So I think it's an easier investment to make automation work in the back of the store or in the back of the house. I think in the front, they could wish it all they want. I do think they will keep trying. With minimum wage, they have a motivation to keep trying. But it remains to be seen that they can create an innovation, a self-checkout experience that's actually net positive for the customer.
All right. Well, and for the employee, it looks like it's going to be a net negative. And because notwithstanding what the person from Metro had to say about the matter, because he's just, as you put it, a politician. Mark, always a pleasure. I appreciate your time and your insight on this particular file as well. Thanks.
Great to be here.
Yep. Mark Satoff, founder and leader of Satoff Consultants. Now, you know, automation going to cost some jobs. That's the harsh reality, at least in the near term at Metro. So it was announced earlier today.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.